It's time for Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, another edition of the Sound Mind broadcast with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. Daniel, Happy New Year. I guess we can continue to say that first couple of shows here of the New Year. This is kind of a continuation of what you started last week about having a meaningful life here in 2019. And you want to kind of branch off from that with the impact of choices this week.
Right. We did bring up choices last week a little bit. And last week we were talking about how to generate meaning in your life. And we discovered that meaning in life because of the creator of life, the source of life is meaningful. And so the real question then we discovered is, how do I find the meaning of life to be meaningful to me? And we talked about some things that we need to do to know the meaningful life more fully and personally. And that whole discussion will be foundational to our discussion today.
And that show is on your website.
It is.
Last week's show is at BibleBasedCounselor.com. Yeah.
So, and again, that I think the title of that one was
Meaningful Life.
Meaningful Life, yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, extension of that. And again, the meaningful life is one step at a time, as we said last week, and those steps are a lot of times choices. Before I get into this, I want to clarify a couple of things. And so the choices, because I probably will forget to do it during the talk here, but there are all kinds of choices that we make in life. Some choices are large choices, where to live, going into ministry,
who to marry.
What to study, who to marry, where the kids should go to school, should we have kids? I mean, some of these are huge, but a lot of the choices we make during the course of the day, the ones that actually get in and spoil the vines, so to speak, are these small choices and decisions that we make just almost off the cuff. Mm. And those are the ones that we need to be more religious, to use that term, and more conscientious about. I'm going to repeat something here later on in the show, but I'll bring it out now because it seems there was a salesman that I was counseling a man one time, actually counseling his wife at first, and then he came in by order of the wife.
Okay.
Yeah. And
happens like that a lot.
Yeah.
It?
And he had been a very successful salesman in his life, and then he tried to be a salesman at home, and that's when the wheels were falling off. So he would always leave me with a gem. I don't know if he really got a lot out of the counseling. It seemed like sometimes it was going in one ear and out the other. But he would always leave me after we had talked for a while. He'd leave me with the gym before he left. And one of those, he said, you have to look out for the pennies. The dollars will take care of themselves. Hmm. And so that's one of those things that I've just never forgotten. Oh, I don't know that I've applied it very well. Hmm. But
The small choices.
The large choices will take care of themselves. It's the small choices that get us off the path. And the path we're talking about, to use terms that we used last week, that point that we get to sometimes in life of feeling that that the meaning is gone and the purpose is gone. Again, as I said last week, that's not just something we wake up with some morning. That's a destiny. That's the end of a path that we've been walking for some time. So we talked a little bit about that last week, and this week I want to talk a little bit more about hopefully helping people to recognize when we're getting off that path and how that it can be in just small choices that I make through the day. And the choices that I make are not always moral choices. In fact, those are kind of the no-brainers. I'm talking about choices that require usages of assets and resources that could be better used or used more wisely if I held in mind the purpose and the intent and my overall goal and destiny. Again, referring back to our previous show on the meaningful life. So I'm looking here at a quote from Socrates, who said that the unexamined life is not worth living. And then also Solomon in the Proverbs talks about wisdom crying out in the streets to anyone who will listen. And you kind of get the sense that no one is listening, but wisdom is there crying out in the streets. So I know also many Christians who are living beneath the potential for their purpose and joy. I know I have, and I struggle with that. But, you know, I'm not ashamed to say it. That's what life is working the process and struggling the struggle, working out our salvation, as Scripture says. But, we live beneath our potential for purpose and joy because seemingly insignificant choices like these continue to make. So we're all guilty of that, and that's why I think the Bible was written. Paul writes in Corinthians, this is Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 11, and he says that basically he's talking about the context is the taking of communion. But he says that if we would evaluate and judge ourselves honestly, and if we recognized our shortcomings and corrected our behavior, we would avoid harsher consequences. That's my paraphrase of the Amplified version.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, that makes a lot of sense.
Amplified.
Well, this sounds like the emphasis on confession. That's one. I'm not Catholic, but there is a sense in which kind of unburdening yourself on a regular basis, even daily, kind of keeping a clean slate between you and God is so important because people build up this stuff.
Yeah, I think it's an important aspect of refocusing. Just as you're saying that, I'm thinking that whenever you confess a sin, you almost have to hold that behavior up in front of the backdrop of some intended destiny, and you find the contrast and the fact that it's wrong because it contrasts, it stands out against the greater purpose. I think even confessions, when I confess my sins, there's got to be a part of my mind that recognizes why, at least in some measure, why it was wrong. Mm-hmm. And it's important to know that because that's pointing me toward what I should be living mm-hmm. for. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think you're right, Mark. That's an important part of it. Mm-hmm. And so all this, it's talk of, the unexamined life, not worth living. Is it being lived at all? And wisdom crying in the streets and the need to judge ourselves and correct our behavior, this all justifies a much closer look at what we do and why we do it. So, again, Paul's talking in the context of the communion, and he specifically says that people getting sick and prematurely dying sometimes even is a consequence of not understanding the body of Christ. And that leads us to the first really essential of wise choosing, and that is namely that we always have to have an eye on the bigger picture, the objective. So Paul's saying that this was a result of not doing that or misunderstanding that. So in order to avoid making those mistakes, we have to have that big picture, that ultimate objective in mind from time to time. Often, we need to have it in mind daily, and I think we don't do that. I would like to have it in mind many times during the day, and that's a discipline that we need to get to where we remind ourselves many times during the day. That's kind of the benefit of having several devotions during the day, even though the way we live our lives, a fast pace, we don't really have time for that, but we certainly should make the time to at least reflect. I think the three meals during the day, praying for the three meals, three prayers, there may not be a whole lot of benefit to that, but one benefit that it would have is to help us to refresh at least three times a day that our life is an experience, an encounter with the sovereign God, and that's why we're living. And so if for no other reason, it would at least be three times during the day that we could hit that refresh button. So when you're out on a walk, and so now back to choices, we're out on a walk, and I've done this before, Bouchard Gardens or somewhere.
Bouchard, wow.
Yeah, you're walking
along. You go
along.
On neat walks.
Well, I'm thinking of these. Well, I'm thinking of the paved walks.
Oh, okay.
So we come to kind of a fork in the path, and one of the paths leads up an incline and the other one down a gentle incline. And so since we're pleasure-seeking, pain-avoiding creatures, our first inclination is to go on the easy path. But we maybe, for some of us, almost immediately get a check, because what we do is we, if we've been on walks before, we know that what goes down must come up and what goes up must come down. And so unless we know where our destination is, if our destination is above us, you know, we're probably inclined to just keep going up, unless we, there's a particular view that we want to see or something. So what I'm pointing out is we are inclined to go the way of least resistance unless there's a reason to go a different direction. Mm-hmm. And being unmindful of an objective, we often make a choice that can sidetrack us in life and ultimately sidetrack us away from a more meaningful objective at the cost of valuable resources, I think, such as time, energy, money, relationships, mental health or mental bandwidth, creativity, and things like that. So the thing that we carry away from that little story that I told, that little analogy, is that by our very nature, we will go the way of least resistance unless we have in mind this larger, keep in mind this larger objective. So it's our choices then that bring us to either an intended or, unfortunately, sometimes an unintended destination.
The impact of choices this week, a very important subject. The small, the Bible uses that term, the little foxes. Watch out for the little foxes.
Right, the little foxes spoil the vine.
Get in there and spoil the vine. Yeah, so the importance of choices. If you found in previous years you've made some bad choices, well, maybe in 2019 you want to make some good choices and you need some help. Daniel specializes in life coaching, and that might be just what you need. So if people need help, Daniel, how do they get in touch with you?
Yeah, you can call me at 425-778-6169, 778-6169. People also email me through the website where you find these podcasts, and that is, again, BibleBasedCounselor.com, offices in Edmonds and Kirtland.
Okay, back with more of the Sound Mind broadcast with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor in just a moment.
Hi, this is Daniel Pryor, counselor and life coach. You know, anxiety and depression contribute to every type of psychosis, behavioral problem, and even many health issues. Unchecked, they can ruin your life. But you don't have to let that happen. If you feel that you or someone that you know is struggling with anxiety and depression, call me and let me teach you the tools to build, manage, and maintain a more wholesome lifestyle. Contact me through my website at BibleBasedCounselor.com or call me at 425-778-6169.
Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, Sound Mind this week, looking at the importance of choices, the impact of choices on our meaningful life. We want to have a meaningful life in 2019, kind of a two-part series started us off this year. And Daniel, you want to continue with this. So important, those choices.
Right. Choices are accumulative. Is it accumulative? Accumulative.
Yeah, I think that's right.
One of those two. Take your choice.
They accumulate.
Choose one. Yeah, make a choice. So each choice takes us to a place where other choices are now either made available or unavailable. So each choice sets us up, sets up a series of other choices while eliminating some choices as well.
This is something really hard to get through to people who are in school.
Yeah, it's not even hard. It's not only hard to say those words, it's hard to actually do them. Getting through school.
Getting the grade point. You know, kids don't realize, they don't realize if you don't get better grades, that's going to set in motion a certain path for your life. You might not get into college or the one you want.
And that's a great example, Mark, because, you know, when I did more work with children, and I love to work with children who were floundering in school and flunking, because a lot of the reason they were flunking is they just didn't have that perspective. For the most part, they didn't know how many credits they needed, how many they had, or how to get them. And so they really did. There was no finish line.
Then they graduate and they go, what? I can only go to community college? I can't. So anyway, I'm saying this from personal experience.
I experienced the same thing. I did very poorly in high school and then figured it out before I went to college many years later. Let me tell you a story about a client that I had one time many, many years ago. So out of the area. she came to me. She had hitchhiked to my office because her car had broken down because she was trying. She was having to leave her apartment in a car that didn't run. And her car broke down, and she left her things at the side of the road and hitchhiked to the office, I think, because we had a habit of getting a latte before we started the session. Mm-hmm. And she thought she could use one. Her first statement, you know, why is God doing this to me? So we started this Socratic search for the answer. So, you know, I start with, why are you moving? Or why did your car break down? Because it's a piece of junk. Well, why do you own a piece of junk? Because that's all I could afford. Why are you moving from your apartment? Because it's a lousy apartment. Why did you get that apartment? It's all I could afford. Why is that all you could afford? Because I don't have a job. Why don't you have a job? I'm not employable. Why aren't you employable? I dropped out of school. Why did you drop out of school? I ran away from home. And so these are choices that she made earlier on in life, which set up then other choices and eliminated some. And then she would make another choice. And then see, eventually she got to the place where there was no really good choice to make. Mm. I mean, there were some better than others, but there was no really good choice to make. Mm. So a lot of what I did with her was just trying to get her to begin making some of the better choices she could make. And in time, those choices might lead to other better choices, mm-hmm. you know. So the thing that we have to get into our heads is that smaller choices always add up to larger ones. And then to avoid wasteful choices that eventually take us to that those unintended destinations, we have to have a goal in mind, where we're headed. And those kinds of things. And I've got five basic points here.
Let's go through these.
They're not exhaustive. You could add to them. And there could be quite a bit of discussion on each one. But let's go through them. So the first one would be, of course, we have to learn about our intended destination. We have to be a student of the purpose of life. And it sounds like grandiose. But we each have to be a student of the purpose of life. And we talked last week about the meaningful life and how that life has meaning. And it really is a question about how does the intrinsic meaning of life that's there because of the life giver, how does that intrinsic meaning, how do I participate in that? So we have to be a student of that. The more we know about it, the more we look, the more we see, the more we know about that purpose, the more we know about its relevance to our own life. Choices need to be based on intended outcome, and that what I'm talking about there, that purpose is the intended outcome. And so it requires a lot of consideration and repeated consideration. So we were talking about even ways of reminding ourselves several times during the day of where life is really headed. And yeah, so a vague notion of where we're headed is not much better than none at all. So we have to be students of that purpose of life. The second one here is that choices become our days, and then, of course, days become our weeks, and weeks become our months, and months become our years. And then first thing you know, we're 2020, and we look back on the year and say, oops, maybe not. The direction of your day begins with your first choice. So this is something that I'm working on this year, too. So each day begins with a good choice. So when you open your eyes in the morning, make the choice that will take you toward your intended direction. It could be a morning prayer.
Mm-hmm.
I think for probably most of us, we you know when our eyes open, we think, "Oh shoot!" And we already start to look at the calendar and what we've got to. Instead of opening the eyes and then the first thing we think of is to remind ourselves of what is the meaning of life, what is the purpose of life. And how can I participate? And even just those thoughts, when you open your eyes, can be enough to change the direction of your day. Of course, you have to reinforce that during the day. But choices become your days, and your days become your weeks. So The third one here is, as I said earlier in the show, watching out for the pennies. You know, we have to learn to consider how that even our smaller choices in terms of ultimate potential have a cost. And so we have to learn to evaluate that cost. What is the cost of doing this? And again, I say, these are not moral choices. This is not, you know, rob the bank or not.
Right. These
are not moral choices. These are, you know, should I spend time on my social media, my Facebook, or should I read something out of Scripture? Or should I read, you know, if I've got the time, should I be reading a book that has something to do with my purpose? And I'm not trying to strain this down so that we are never having any fun in life, but we need to
priorities.
It's prioritizing and always keeping in mind that purpose that we, and that's why it's so important to refresh ourselves several times during the day as to what the purpose is. Mm. So we learn to manage these smaller choices, and that will naturally lead to the management of the larger choices.
Mm-hmm.
Fourth one is here, mind your assets. Keep in mind when you're weighing what is the cost of this behavior, keep in mind my time, my energy. You know, we only have so much time, and then it's gone, and my energy, and sometimes my money, and sometimes some of our choices cost us relationships over long run, and we have to keep in mind our mental health and our mental bandwidth and our creativity. We only have so much of that. So where do we want to invest these things? Keep in mind your assets when you're using up your day in choices that aren't necessarily taking you in the direction.
Some people seem to be able to have more, handle more bandwidth. Some people can get a lot done, and some people really need to focus on just a couple of things. Mm-hmm. So I think you've got to know yourself that way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that's true. Yeah, we're not all wired the same, and we that's just a way of thinking. We just think differently, and some of us aren't as organized in our thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Part of this, I guess, is learning to be a little bit more organized. And then the fifth one here is growth and pruning, because you can't eliminate all extemporaneous activity. Spontaneity and laissez-faire are part of every life, and sometimes they make life livable and interesting. But the key is to keep pruning back for more efficiency. And I just want to close with don't be discouraged by having to correct your thinking and correct your behavior. Correcting's not failing, and life is mostly a process of correcting. The Bible says repentance is good for the soul. And then, though, we have to appreciate the value of thinking things through and avoid further judgment, as Paul encourages us. You know, be better judges of our behavior and quicker to correct those. So then I just want to remind people that these two topics have not been about typical mental health issues, but they've been about the fundamentals to having mental health and avoiding some of those things like depression and anxiety.
Getting
right to the crux of it, meaningful life and deliberate choices. In my practice, I deal with all these other things as well.
But you'd like to catch some of the more serious things before they become so serious.
Well, I hope we all do.
Basic life coaching issues. So kind of focusing on life coaching more with these last few shows, life coaching here in the new year. If you want to turn over a new leaf and want to maybe go some different directions with your life this year, Daniel would love to assist you with determining how to do that. How do people get in touch with you, Daniel?
Yeah, certainly, Mark. Phone number is 425-778-6169, 778-6169. People do email me through the website, BibleBasedCounselor.com. Of course, the office is in Kirkland and Edmonds. And you'll find these shows podcasted if you want to hear them again or direct other people to them.
About 3 years' worth of podcasts there at BibleBasedCounselor.com. Always great stuff with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor and the Sound Mind broadcast here on KCIS.
You've been listening to Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. To make an appointment, call 425-778-6169. Be sure to tune in each Tuesday afternoon at 1 p.m. for Sound Mind with Daniel Pryor.